Morning to turn to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. I'd like to read the entire Psalm, 24 verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. But the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a psalm of David. We see that he is personally speaking to God. We see also in this psalm that he is meditating and he is contemplating upon some truths about God. These truths show forth the awesomeness of God, show forth the marvel of God and the greatness of God. As he thinks upon these things, he's filled with awe, he's filled with wonder, he's filled with amazement. We see this by his words, O Lord and O God. The psalm begins there in verse 1, O Lord, showing the wonder and the amazement that he's feeling. And in verse 4, we see, O Lord. Verse 17, verse 19, we see, O God, in those two verses. And showing us again that he is filled with wonder and awe. And this wonder and awe is also expressed in verse 6. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And he went on to say that he could not attain unto such knowledge. That is, he could not fully comprehend the things that he is speaking of here. And as he thinks upon these great truths, He also realizes that there's some mystery in them. Again, I cannot attain unto it. That is, there's a mystery in all of these truths that he presents about God. The psalm basically is divided into four stanzas, with each stanza focused upon a specific truth concerning the Lord. And each truth concerning the Lord is emphatically stated, without any doubt, without any uncertainty whatsoever. And as David looks at these truths, he looks at them as they personally relate to himself. As we were singing, I believe I counted 45 first-person pronouns in the psalm. I may have missed a few, but you get the idea. He's talking about God. He's talking about himself. In other words, he sees the greatness of God, and he sees it connected to himself. He sees it as pertinent to himself. I want to speak this morning on the subject of God and me. God and me. And as David thinks upon these great truths of God, he's overwhelmed. He's moved. He's affected. It stirs him. It fills his heart with a desire, which shows that these truths were not just points of theology with David. They were not just abstract, but it was something that David vividly realized and had an effect upon him personally. We want to consider two main points. First of all, we want to look at the truths that are stated about God, and then we want to consider the practical effect that all of this had upon David. He first of all speaks of the infinite knowledge of God. This is stated in verses 1 through verse 6. He states emphatically, he states a fact about the intimate, perfect, flawless, complete, absolute knowledge of God concerning himself. He begins the psalm with that statement of fact. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. He says emphatically, God knows me. That is, right now, at this very moment, God knows me. He knows me. He knows me flawlessly. He knows me completely. He knows me absolutely. He says this with absolute certainty. Now notice the words that David uses to describe this knowledge of God. He uses several different words. Verse 1, he says, Lord, thou hast searched me. That speaks of investigating. Thou hast investigated me. Thou hast left no stone unturned. He goes on and he says in verse 1, thou hast known me. That is, God recognizes and notes every single thing about us. Everything. He goes on in verse 2. He again uses that word knowest. In verse 2 also, he uses the word understandest. That is, God observes everything about me. God pays attention to everything about me. God is intelligent of every single thing there is about me. Now, this is true about all things, but David is applying this to himself. He says, thou compassest my path, which means the word compasses, his knowledge surrounds David, and that's a word of discernment. He discerns everything there is to discern about David. He says that he is acquainted. He is acquainted. He's familiar. Everything about me is known. There are no details in my life. There are no details in your life that go unnoticed. Nothing is excluded from the knowledge of God. Notice he mentions seven specifics in verse 2. We're not going to count me in verse 1, but he begins to mention some specifics that God knows. Verse 2, he says, "Thou knowest my down sitting." He knows every time I sit down. He knows why I sat down. He knows the intent. He knows all the downs. He says also he knows mine uprising. He knows every time I sit. He knows every time I am down. He knows all my lows. He knows all my risings. He goes on, he says he knows my thoughts afar off. That is, long before I ever think them. He knows. He knows what's going to go through this brain. He knows. He knows every thought that you've ever thought. He knows every thought that you will ever think. He knows our down sitting. He knows our uprising. He knows our thoughts. Verse 3, he mentions my path. That is, our daily walking to and fro. He knows it all. He knows my lying down. The time I lie down, he knows. He goes on in verse 3, he knows my ways. My manner of living. He knows all of my ways, inward and outward. He knows them all. And then he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "There's not a word in my tongue, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." Every single word that we've ever spoken, he knows. Every word that we've muttered where no one else could hear, he knows. Every word that we'll ever say, he already knows. You see, David is impressed with the thoroughness of God's knowledge about him. All of these things that we've mentioned, down sitting, uprising, our thoughts, our paths, our lying down, our ways, our words, public or secret, he knows. Whether you do these things in the sight of others or whether you do them secretly, he knows. He knows the motive behind every action. He knows the intent behind every action. He knows all things at all times at the same time. He knows. Now you and I cannot fully comprehend that God knows, what God knows about us. In fact, notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and verse 10. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That is, most people do not really know themselves. But none of us, there are things about each one of us that are unknowable to ourselves. Who can know it? Who can understand the nature of man? Who can fully know these things? There are things about ourselves that you and I cannot know about ourselves. But the next verse says, "I, the Lord, search the heart." What is unknowable about you, what you yourself cannot even know, God says, "I know it. I know it." God knows me. God knows you. And this fact gripped David. He said in verse 5, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." That is, I am surrounded by your knowledge, and I cannot escape. God knows you, and you cannot escape. You cannot escape. He knows. This is a source of confidence. This is a source of comfort. He's not ignorant. He's not blind concerning our condition. He's not ignorant and he's not blind concerning our circumstances. I'm never out of the mind of God. Never have been. Never will be. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, I was on the mind of God. Before the foundation of the world, I was on the mind of God. I've never not been on the mind of God. He knows. He knows each one of us. But though this is a source of comfort and confidence, when we live in the awareness that He is aware of us, that ought to make us careful. That ought to cause us to be cautious. But it also fills us with humility and gratefulness and praise. Because when I consider His love, when I consider His blessings, these things are in spite of knowing the worst things about us. That He knows me magnifies the greatness of His love. It magnifies the amazingness of His grace. Every blessing that God bestows upon you, He has done so in spite of knowing everything there is to know about you. He does these things in spite of who we are. So He dwells upon the knowledge of God. Verses 7 through 12, He begins to speak of the omnipresence of God. The question in verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" is not necessarily indicative of a desire to escape the presence of God, but it's simply indicative of a fact. That is, there is no place that I can go. There is no place where I can be that God is not. He's everywhere. Someone will say, "Well, the reason God knows everything about us is because He's everywhere." That's not so. The reason God knows everything there is to know about you is because He's God. And the reason God is everywhere is because He's God. It's simply because of who He is. It's simply because of His greatness. In verse 8, He emphatically speaks of the vertical presence of God. He says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." If I can go as high as you can possibly go, there He is. There He is. If I make my bed in hell, if you could go as low as you can possibly go, behold, thou art there. Heaven and hell, and everything in between, thou art there. Thou art there. He then speaks in verse 9 of the horizontal presence of God. That is, nearest and farthest. He says, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea," even there, That is, if I could go from east across the sky to the west, far on the far side of the Mediterranean Sea, even there is God. In other words, no matter where you go, He's there. How foolish it is to try to hide from God. He's there. He's there. Everywhere you go, you bump into God. He's there. You cannot escape. Again, these things are said with absolute certainty. There is no place where God is not. And there is no place that God is not God. Wherever God is, He is who He is. So wherever I go, there is God. And He is not affected by place. He is not affected by space. He is not affected by time. Here, there, and everywhere, God. David says, no matter where I go, You are there. This also is a source of comfort. This is a source of confidence. And it also should humble us. Notice verse 11 and 12. He says, or in verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee. Both the night and the day are the same to God. Both darkness and light are the same to God. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil. But the darkness doesn't hide their deeds. The darkness makes no difference. The darkness makes no difference to God. You know what this means? This means that every sin we commit, every act of rebellion, every step in waywardness that we take, we do so right in the face of God. Because He's there. You can't escape that. People refer to secret sins. There is no such thing. There are no secrets with God. He knows. And He's there. So everything that you and I do, we do right in the face of God. You can whisper. Doesn't matter. You can try to do something in secret. Doesn't matter. Because God is there. Everywhere we go, He is there. Verses 13 through 18. He speaks of the omnipotence of God. And in these verses, our attention is drawn to God as our personal creator. And these are verses that you read these verses and it shows God is against abortion. But that's not the point that we want to make this morning. But these verses speak of Him as creator, which speaks of His power, which speaks of His authority, His ownership, and His rights over each and every one of us. Again, everything is said with absolute certainty. Verse 13, He says, Thou hast possessed My reins, that is my inward parts, Thou hast covered me, intricately woven me in my mother's womb. As David thinks about that, it overwhelms him. We see that in verse 14. He said, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. He's filled with awe. He's filled with wonder that he has been intricately created by God. He speaks of that again in verses 15 and verse 16. He said, My substance, these skeletal frames, my substance was not hid from thee. Can't be. God's everywhere. God knows everything. When I was made in secret, speaking again of the womb, when I was made, when I was formed, when I was shaped, and curiously wrought, that is, embroidered detail, precision, exactness, everything about our creation is detailed. It's precise. It's exact. And he says, God did it all. He says, I was purely wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16 talks about before his substance came into being, that God had ordained everything about him. God had already foreordained what color his hair would be, what color his eyes would be, how tall he would be. God already foreordained all of those things, who his parents would be, how he would bring those parents together. And on and on and on we can go. This speaks of the omnipotence and the sovereignty of God. For me to be born, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and on and on and on we can go. God had to watch over each and every one of them and work out circumstances just to bring about me. And David is overwhelmed. It speaks again of the power of God. We are handmade by a master craftsman. We are the created marvel of God. Now David, as he's writing these things, he's amazed. But David does not know what you and I know today about the human body. Oh, how amazed we ought to be. How amazed we ought to be that we are the creation of God. David found, he's saying, God has always thought of me. And again, he's overwhelmed. In verse 17, he said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Before I was in the womb, God thought of me. While I was in the womb, God thought of me. Oh God, showing his amazement. How great is the sum of them. That is God's thoughts toward us. If I should count them, or if I could count them, they are more than in number than the sea. So he talks about the power, the creating power of God. Next, in verse 19, he mentions the righteousness and holiness of God. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Why? Because God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. And he begins to dwell upon that. He begins to dwell on the fact that God hates sin, and that God's justice will be executed. Now consider the practical effect that this had upon David. The very structure of the psalm speaks of this effect that these thoughts had upon David. David has with the utmost certainty, the utmost confidence and conviction, he has said, God knows me. With utmost conviction, he believes that God is all-knowing. He speaks of the omnipresence of God. He said, God is with me wherever I go. Heaven, hell, as far as the east, as far as the west, and everything in between, God is there. He declared with absolute certainty the omnipotent creating power of God. He declared with absolute certainty the righteousness of God. And if I had asked each one of you, when you came into the building, do you believe that God knows everything about you? I'm sure everyone would say, of course. I don't have any trouble believing that. Do you believe that wherever you go, God is there? He's there before you get there. He's everywhere right now. Past, present, future. He's already there. It's not that he's going to get there. He's already there. Do you believe that God is everywhere? And everyone would say, well, of course, I believe that. Do you believe that you were created in the womb of your mother? And again, I'm sure that everyone here would say, yes, I believe that. Do you believe that God is righteous? Do you believe that God is holy? Do you believe that God is just? And again, I'm pretty certain that almost everyone, if not everyone, would say, yes. I believe all of those things. You see, these are great and wonderful truths about God. But that leads to the question, what effect do these things have upon our hearts? What impact do they have upon our lives? If it's just a matter of theology, it may not have any impact upon our lives. My point is, the structure of the psalm shows that these were not just points of theology with David. Yes, he believed these things, but it was personal. And they had an effect upon his heart. And I believe you see this all through the Bible. You see doctrine, practice. What you know and believe has an effect upon what you do. So the psalm ends after David has expressed what he believes about God. The psalm ends with a prayer of David. The psalm ends with David expressing a desire. And when you get to this prayer in verses 23 and 24, it's as if David has declared what he believes about God. And then he says, all I want is to be right with him. I just want to be right with God. He knows me. He knows me. He's everywhere that I go. He created me in the womb. He's righteous. He's holy. He's just. I just want to be right with him, is what David is saying. And notice in verse 23, he prays for six things. He says, and again,
He's saying these. He's praying this for his own benefit, for his own knowledge. It's already been declared that God already knows. He says, Lord, search me. Search me. Investigate me. Cause me to know. He then says, and know my heart, which speaks of a desire that he has for intimacy with God. Again, this is all for David's benefit. He says, try me. That is, Lord, put me to the test and prove me. And then he says, know my thoughts. Again, God already knows. But this is for David's benefit. He's saying, Lord, reveal these things unto me. And then in verse 24, he says, and see. Communicate with me. Tell me if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I just want to be right with you. So Lord, you know everything about me. Lord, tell me everything that is offensive to you about me. Most people don't want to know that. But when you want to be right with God, when these truths get a hold of you, when these truths grip you about God, your attitude is, I just want to be right with Him. So God, you know everything there is to know about me. Show me. Show me whatever in my life is offensive to you. And then he says, and lead me. After you've shown me these things, lead me, that is, cause me to move, induce me to move in the way everlasting. This is a man who believes some truths about God. And he saw these truths as they related to himself. And it led him, filled him with this desire. I just want to be right with God. I just want to be right with God. I wonder this morning, how many people, talking about the saved right now, how many of you can honestly say, I just want to be right with Him. That's all I want. I just want to be right with God. Oh, dwell upon God. And as you dwell upon God, make the connection between God and yourself. And oh, how we ought to thank God for every single blessing. God gives you food, knowing well that you perhaps will not bow your head and thank Him for that food. But He gave it to you anyway. God gives you clothes. God gives you everything that you have, knowing that you'll misuse it. Knowing that you'll misuse some of these things. But He gives it to us anyway. That's grace. That's mercy. And I think about God knows everything about me. God knows everything that I will do. But not only that, He knows everything that I would have done had He not restrained me from doing it. He knows that also. He not only knows what I've done, He knows what I would have done if it weren't for His grace. Oh, this just shows us the greatness of His love, His mercy. If you're here and lost today, God knows you. God knows everything about you. He knows every single sin. He knows everything about that sin that you've committed. He knows it all. You can try to escape from God. You can try to move behind the person that's sitting in front of you, thinking that you're hiding. Everywhere you go, He's there. He's there. And I pray that if you're here and lost today, that you will be convicted of your sin. And as you try to flee from God, that you will run into God every place you go. There He is. There He is to remind you what you are, a filthy, wicked sinner. And who He is, the Savior of sinners. Oh, that He would meet you and remind you of that everywhere you go. And that's miserable. That's miserable until you finally submit and trust Him. But oh, we have a great God. And how it ought to affect our very lives. How it ought to affect everything about us. These things should not just be mere points of theology. They should be reality in our life. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of song.